we've got a really great setup at the Anglers. So we've got what you would call a traditional pub. So you're going through the door and you're faced with a bar, long wooden bar with hand pumps and some keg offerings as well. The room is kind of divided into three, so there aren't solid doors between them. So there's a lot of kind of interchange between the three areas. We've got a very traditional area at one end, which we call the snug, with a stone flag floor. We've got a slightly more comfortable area, which often people go in to eat, and then a traditional kind of bar area. But we've also got a cafe at the other end of the building. During the daytime, we serve hot drinks, snacks in the cafe, and we have a lot of clubs and stuff run in the daytime in there as well. So the real community atmosphere. And then in between the two, we have our village post office. One of the reasons that we undertook this challenge in 2012-2013 was because the village post office was threatened with closure. So it was a real opportunity for us to bring that into the Anglers Rest building and run it for the community. I mean, frankly, it makes very little or no profit for us, but it's a real community opportunity and facility for people to use. And with the demographic that we've got in the village, it's a lifeline for many people who come in, still use it as a kind of cash withdrawal facility, post stamps, return parcels, all of those things that you can use a post office for, which had we not brought it into the pub, we wouldn't have in the village. People would have to travel to one of the neighbouring villages in the Hope Valley to get those facilities.
For people who aren't familiar with the area you're in, can you describe the community and how isolated it could risk being from facilities?
Yeah, so Hope Valley's got a string of villages along the road that runs along the bottom of the valley, kind of starting from Grindleford, Hathersage, Bamford, then through to Hope, Castleton, and eventually to Edale. Now, Bamford's a village of about 900 people. It's got now no village shop. The shop closed 4 or 5 years ago. There is some kind of grocery facility at the filling station at the end of the road at Sickleholme, but a lot of people don't want to be kind of travelling a mile for a tin of tomatoes or whatever. So we've got pretty limited facilities. We've got quite an ageing demographic in the village as well. That said, there's a number of younger families have moved in over the last 7 or 8 years, which is great to bring a bit of, you know, more youthful life into the village. And one of the things that we're keen to do is get them more involved with what goes on in the pub. So we've got parents and toddler group runs in the cafe once a week, which is good. We've got links with the school where the PTFA at the school use us for quiz nights and things like that. We've just had on our car park Christmas market to raise funds for the village recreation ground playground. So, you know, we try and use the facilities we've got for the people in the village, but also we get, because we're a Peak District village, we get a lot of visitors at the weekend. We get cyclists, walkers, climbers. We get a lot of people who come to have a look at and the view from the top of Bamford Edge, which is quite spectacular. So, you know, we give everybody a warm welcome. Everybody gets a great pint of beer if they want, or a nice soft drink, or a tea or coffee or hot chocolate. They can get food and have an enjoyable part of their day out, spending a bit of time with us, eating, drinking, chatting, very friendly and welcoming. But, you know, we face the challenges that everybody does, that cost of living has meant fewer people spend as much as they used to in pubs and restaurants. We have the challenges of getting and retaining staff. We have the challenges of utility bills, which the gas and electricity costs to us have gone up dramatically in the last 5 years. And we want more people to come in more often and spend a bit more money. So buy an extra pint before Christmas would be great. And so hopefully we're having a relaunch in the new year. We've got a new manager coming in who's also will be the chef. He's got a great reputation in the valley for providing really great value, really good quality food. So we're not going up market with the food. It'll still be excellent pub food, but we're hoping and expecting that to increase the footfall for food. We've got a bar manager coming in who's got a great reputation in Sheffield for the quality of the beer that she has kept and served. So she will maintain our profile for fantastic beer. We've got Cask Mark. We've been Camera District Pub of the Year, I think 3 times in the last 5 years. So we're looking forward to Jo maintaining and enhancing that reputation. We try and stock all our cask beers from within 15 to 20 mile radius, so local breweries, so we support them. We have local people jobs. A lot of our staff are youngsters who work and help in the kitchen. For many of them, it's their first opportunity of being in the world of work. So it's great to have the ability to offer those young people the opportunity for proper work experience, because frankly, it's quite limited around here, not many big employers. So we're optimistic, though everything remains a big challenge for us.
I'm sure. But it does sound so vibrant despite all of those challenges. But if things hadn't all come together about 10 years ago, then none of this would be happening.
That's absolutely right. When I moved into the village almost exactly 24 years ago, actually. And at that time, there was a hotel at the end of the road. There were two pubs in the centre of the village. The hotel and the other pub closed quite a long time ago. The Anglers was the only pub in the centre of Bamford left. That was threatened with closure in 2012. It took the community about a year to secure its future. And in October, we had our 10th anniversary celebration weekend, which was fantastic. It's an amazing achievement, thanks to loads and loads of hard work from staff, from customers, from shareholders, investors, members, from the board members over the years. It's been an amazing achievement to get to 10 years. And, you know, we're hoping that with the kind of relaunch almost after Christmas, after the new year, with the new management team, to set us up properly for the next 10 years.
Well, let's hope so. And the reason I'm interviewing you today is because of a Long Live the Local campaign to raise awareness of how many jobs are supported by the pub and hospitality industry. And sometimes we hear that young people aren't going to pubs as much as they used to. I mean, maybe a bit they're tempted to stay home and watch Netflix or whatever it is. And there are doubts cast over the future of the pub generally, let alone the rural pub. Mm. What do you think of that? Do you think pubs have got a strong future in our communities?
Well, I think they need to have a strong future, because they are really the only place that people can come together in that informal setting and meet and chat. Yes, of course, you can hire a room somewhere to have a meeting or to run some kind of function, but that's different from the social aspect of just popping in for a pint and a chat with people who you may not even have met them before. I was in the pub with a friend of mine from the village on Sunday, and we were just chatting to two walkers who'd spent the day walking in the Peak District, walking around Lady Bower. They'd come in for a drink. We had a great chat with them. They were having a great time. We were able to tell them a bit of the history of the pub, which they liked. We do need to get more young people coming in, though we do have a reasonably good number of younger people. We provide a bit of sponsorship for the village football team, which helps, because without being rude about the older people in the village, the younger people tend to be the fitter ones who can manage 80 minutes or 90 minutes of football. So sponsoring them helps us get younger people into the pub. And we have things like music nights, folk night, vinyl night, we have quizzes, all of which are open to everybody of every age. And we encourage young people to come in. We employ, it varies a little bit, it's a bit seasonal, but up to about 17 people, many of them on part-time contracts, but we employ about 17 people as a maximum, all of them pretty much local. So we do offer that employment opportunity. We turn over, well, in a good year, just short of £500,000. So that's money in the local economy, which is great. So yeah, it's really, really important to keep these enterprises, not just us, but other enterprises of a similar nature going in communities like ours. Without them, we miss something really, really important. We welcome the help that the government has given us, and particularly during COVID, the support both from central government and from High Peak Borough Council effectively saved us. We would have been lost without that. So we were able to furlough staff. We were able to get various reliefs and grants to help us survive that. But things like beer duty, getting that down to the European average would be fantastic, because the cost of living crisis is hitting everybody. You know, people haven't got lots of spare money generally, so they have to choose how they spend it. We face increasing costs. We're doing all we can to keep prices reasonable, but cutting tax on beer would be great. Business rates rate relief. That's really helpful. Lowering VAT for pubs, that would help. And if that was on a sliding scale, depending on turnover, I guess that would help smaller enterprises like ours a lot. So there is more that the government could do to help us. But, you know, it would be churlish of me not to appreciate all the help we did get through COVID, without which we wouldn't be here still now, I think.